This morning, I'm talking of the call of God. Have you heard the call of God? Yes or no? I dare say our coming here this morning is in response to the call of God. If it is not His call, you come in vain. If you came because you have a business appointment to talk about some project with somebody here, I say you come for the wrong purpose. God must call, and He is always calling. We have a wonderful God, and He calls those who are straying, those who are going against His law. He is very compassionate, very merciful. He is seeking, thinking about who? You. We have a wonderful God. How well do you know Him? And how grateful are you to Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? So there is a general call to all who are straying. Come unto me is a chorus I gave to you just now. Have you all got it? If you don't have it, you can share with your neighbor. We're going to sing this. And before that, we will kindly turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. And we will all read it before we sing it. Matthew, chapter 11. All right, have you found it? Verses 28 to 30. We are going to read it together so that we will all be blessed by the reading of God's Word. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Everybody, please, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These words are wonderful, beautiful words. Anyone here who is struggling in your daily life, in your private life, in your workplace, wherever you go, we all struggle. Yes, we all do. It is a troublous world, a very difficult world to live in. So, read it once more, then we'll sing. Everybody together, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Truly, His yoke is easy. Hear the music. Everybody singing now.
Come unto me with your heavy load. I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Take my yoke on you.
Wonderful chorus with wonderful truth. So wonderful. You sing it, you believe it, God will make your life different. You will no longer bear heavy burdens when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ together.
Come unto me with your heavy load.
When you are so heavy burdened in your work, wherever you are, remember this song. Sing it. If you're too shy, hum it. Hum it to yourself with the words in your heart and see what the Lord will do in your life. Why carry your burdens yourself? Oh, my friends, the Lord is waiting to help us. We sing this again. Come unto me with your heavy load. I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. Heart without looking, well, we'll try. Try your best together. Come unto me with your heavy load. I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. Use it through the week, sing it, and see what the Lord will not do in your life. I photocopied this at 9 a.m. this morning for this meeting. Then I have to do some surgery to cut it into two. So there's a lot of loving work going into this, you know. Don't throw it away, please. Sing it. God bless you. Now, this is a general call to all who are laboring under heavy burdens, struggling with life. Now God has another call, and we are going to sing another chorus. Before that, turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke. And we are going to briefly recall the story of the prodigal son. But the story is not mainly about the prodigal son. The story is about the wonderful father. Oh, my friends, that father told in the story is our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is thinking of us, looking down on every straying child. Is there anyone here today who is straying from the Father in heaven? So the story is in Luke 15. It tells of a father with two sons. And the younger one day said to the father, listen, this story is very homely and may apply to someone here. He said to father, Father, I'm getting a bit tired of home. Give me my inheritance. I will go and make my own fortune. Live my own life. So he did. And he gathered up all that the father gave him and he left home. Some people think it's so good to leave home. Do you think so? Oh, he did. In a far country, as far as possible, I don't like my father. I don't like my home. It's so restrictive. Every day got to pray. Every day got to study Bible. I want to my freedom. And he went and he spent his little fortune, his inheritance. What does it say here? In riotous living. No, so many young people today, you read the new paper, everybody got the new Taurus in the new paper. Oh, my friends, the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes are the things that catch our young people, not just young people, old people as well. And they are pulled into the world and they think it's so good. In the flesh, very good for a while until the flesh stings them. And they will realize it is not so good at all. So this young man said one day, hey, my money is almost finished. What shall I do? In no time, though, no money, what to do? He went to work for a farmer who rear pigs. And so he said, you look after pigs? My friends, He was the prince in the house of a rich man who had all kinds of servants and every kind of luxury. Now he looks after pigs. That is the price you pay for wanting to run your own life, dear friends. And he ended up with pigs. He almost became a pig. Almost ate the pig food. Until one day God sent him an awakening. How many of you have experienced that awakening? Oh, my friends, that awakening is the wake-up call of God. Wake up! Why do you spend your time and your life with pigs? There is the Heavenly Father waiting for you. So he says, that's right. That's right. My Father's house has got so much material things, everything I think of, you name it, I have it there, but I'm now far away. And he has so many servants, maybe I will go back and say, Father, please forgive me. Just make me a servant. Even that is better than sitting with pigs. So he did. My dear friends, thank God he ever touched your heart and woke you up. And cause you to think there is a Father at home waiting for you. Pick up yourself and head for home. He did. Now, the amazing thing is this. As I said, the main character of this story is not the son. The main character is the father. How do you know? Read on. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Verse 20, all right? If you don't have your Bible, listen, I will read for you. Verse 20 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15 says, he arose, praise God, the prodigal son woke up, and he arose and came to his father. Now, this is the drama, the real drama is here. When he was yet a great way off. How come? Great way off. From where? From home. Father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This, dear friends, is a picture of our Heavenly Father. A great way off. Long before you have come to the gate of the house, he has already seen you. Meaning to say, this father was daily looking down the road, thinking of that son, that beloved son, who rebelled against his authority. Nevertheless, I ask you one question. Did the father ever forget the son? Every day looking down, because this story tells you so. When he was a great way off, father saw him. It's not that he had television to say that he's coming, I better get up and watch for him. No, every day he's watching. Every day he's longing. That is our Heavenly Father. Do you know him? And anyone here, I say honestly and earnestly in the Lord, anyone here who is now rebelling against God in a far country, thinking you are having it so good, I say, please understand, it's not so good. Yes. The end is what matters, not now. So, while this prodigal son was still a great way off, father says, looks like him. Looks like him. As he came nearer, yeah, that's him. What did he do? And my friends, if you have ever had a son who leaves home and leaves no message, no clue where he is, that's what you'll do every day, yourself, if you love your son. Every sound, as though somebody's coming, you look up, is it my son? Every day you look for a letter, maybe my son will write to me. Here is a father, and he says, that's my son. What does he do? Does he say, awful fellow, now he'll get it? I'll punish him and show him who's who. My friend, God is full of compassion. and mercy. And he runs down to the son. Not one word, for he loves his son. And he wants him to return home. For that returning home is what we all have to do. When you return home, you come back to the Father's authority. You come back to the Father's love. Come back to the Father's teaching and instruction. And Father runs down. Now look, read on. When he was yet far away, Father saw him, had compassion. What a wonderful word. Our God is not a vengeful God in that sense. All of us are his wayward children. And he loves you. To what extent? He loved us and gave his son for us, to die for us, to bring us back to God. Here is the working out of this great love of God. He ran to the son and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's right. I say, dear friends, this gives you a picture of God's love. Now we will sing the chorus from hymn 268. You don't have it, but I'll give it to you. Coming home, never more to roam. Very easy. Can you say it? Coming home, never more to roam. Then, open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Hear the music. We'll try it. Most of you know it. All right, let's sing out. The rest will follow.
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming. Coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
You all know the saying, there's no place like home. Yes. For this prodigal, did he expect all those things? I dare say no. For when he left his pigsty, he says, if only I can go back and be another servant, that's good enough. That's good enough. But our Heavenly Father is full of compassion like any father. Think of it. Your son comes home after years in the far country, now repentant. Now thinking of home. Now thinking of Father, what will you do? Ah, my friends, that is a picture of God. And the Father embraced him, wept over his neck, kissed him, and the next thing is tell the servants, my son is back. Bring the best robe for him. Shoes and the best of everything for this, my son, was lost, is found, was dead, is now alive. This is the wonderful gospel story. We sing it once more together.
Coming home, coming home, nevermore.
Thank God for the story of the prodigal son and that wonderful father. Now, we come to the last part of this morning's message. God calls you out of darkness to his marvelous light. And then he calls us all to service. For none is safe to sit and do nothing. We must never be ungrateful and unproductive and unfruitful, having received the gospel and the salvation grace of God, right? Ask yourself. And God calls us in some way or other, all of us can serve God. All of us can be useful for Him. He has a purpose. He has something for you to do. Now, God has something different for each one. Something you can do, I cannot do. Something I can do, you cannot do. But God knows exactly. I want to share with you just two characters today. One is the Apostle Paul. How God called him, and he may be calling you in the same way. And number two is God calling yourself. Now let's look at how God called the Apostle Paul. And the best account is in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 26. Here is an account given by Paul himself. Paul, at that time, was Saul of Tarsus. We all know his story, don't we? But when we recall and revise that story, you're going to learn many wonderful truths. Saul was brought up in the Jewish religion, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, so strict with everything, and he thought he knew everything, but he knew nothing of the grace of God. And when Jesus Christ arose, and when they put him to the cross, he thought, that's right. I must defend my Jewish religion. Who is this Jesus Christ? When they were persecuting the church after the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, he was consenting to the death of the first martyr, Stephen. And not satisfied with that, he raised himself as a champion of the Jewish religion to put down the Christian faith at that time. Now this is where the story takes off. Journeying on the way to Damascus. By the way, Damascus is the capital city of Syria. It is still sitting there. Damascus is still there. It is the oldest city on earth. And he was on the way to Damascus with letters of authority to arrest and to destroy Christians. Now this was Saul's life work that he thought that he would do. And he thought this was God's will. Amazing. But God had compassion. This is where our story takes off. Acts of the Apostles 26 verse 13. At midday, O King Agrippa, Herod, this is the King Herod, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around me and them which journeyed with me. And all these were struck by the light and they fell down to the ground. What happened? Jesus Christ from heaven was acting, working on them by a light that is above the brightness of the midday sun. Have you ever tried looking at the midday sun? Don't try, because you can get blinded if you keep looking. Yes, it is a very terrible thing to do. But when God shone that light, they were all hit and they fell down to the ground. This was a supernatural demonstration of the power of the light of God. Number 14. When we were all fallen, a voice spoke to me saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who is it? Wonderful. Who is this voice? And it continues to say, to speak to Saul, fallen down on the road to Damascus. And this voice said to him, listen, verse 14. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What are you up to, Saul? Armed with letters of power, authority, to the distant city of Damascus, to arrest Christians. This activity is so futile and so painful to yourself. You don't know it. It's like what? Hard for you to kick against the pricks. How can I best explain to you what it is to kick against the pricks? take off your shoes and play football with a durian. All right. That's exactly what it means. Saul, why are you doing this? You will never gain any pleasure or benefit or profit or anything out of it. You are just doing something very foolish. Oh, Saul woke up and said, what's happening? Who are you? Verse 15. Who are you, Lord? Jesus Christ then revealed himself. Oh, my friends, the most gracious act of God is to come to you. Why should the Creator, Redeemer, risen from the dead with all power in his hand, come to you? Why should he do it? You ever ask yourself? Answer, he loves you. Not only wants to save you, but he wants to give you a commission. You know what is a commission? He wants to give you a work for the kingdom of God authorized by the king. You are trying to destroy the kingdom of God. You go not only to Jerusalem, you go to Damascus, everywhere, to arrest and if possible to kill Christians, and you think that is good? Oh, my friends, there are sometimes things that you think is good. You think is good. But God in his mercy comes and stops you from it. John Sung in New York, having had all the honors and glories of the academic world, thought it was good. He knew every religion. He researched into every kind of religion. Until one night, God came to him when he was agonizing in his room 415 in the Union Theological Seminary on the 27th of February 1927. And there God met with him. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. John Sung, what are you up to? All his sins were displayed before him. Turn back. I am the one who died for you, rose for you. You be my servant. That turned John Sung around 180 degrees. Same with Saul. Saul thought he was so clever, so good, such a champion of the Jewish religion to kill Christians until Christ himself came to him. So, there was Dr. John Sung. When he turned around, the Lord says, thy sins are forgiven thee. All your sins of self and pride and academic excellence, he won every prize possible in the academic year. But God says, nope, John Sung, your life is not your own. Come and serve me. And he did. In 15 years of service, God called him and used him throughout the whole length and breadth of China, Southeast Asia, Singapore, 1935, my brother, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh there, and myself, we sat there for the first round, 1935, August, 2 weeks, 3 sermons a day, 2 hours each time, 6 hours a day. We never got tired. But the Spirit of God spoke to us. And we were called from that day, 1935. I said, dear friends, our lives always hark back to that day, 1935. When God called, and when God calls, no man can resist. You cannot say no to God when he has a plan for you, and he wants you, his Spirit will make you willing to be willing. You may not want to be willing, but when God wants you, his Spirit working in you will cause you to be willing to be made willing. So, Dr. Johnson said, who will give his life to serve the Lord? His hand, my hand. The call of God is mysterious, is inexplicable. The love of God is inexplicable, except that he loved us. Not for any good in us, but he called us to be saved and then to go and serve. Now this is where we are with the Apostle Paul as Saul. Look back now, please. I am Jesus, Saul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 16. Rise, stand upon your feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. So may God speak to all of you today, all of us here. Hear the word of God. The Lord has something good for you. I don't know what it is, but the Lord will show it to you. When you have surrendered your life to the Lord, He will show it to you in ways that you cannot explain. Verse 16, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a servant, a minister, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of things in which I will appear to thee. Yes, you have already seen today the power of my risen life, Jesus Christ, speaking from heaven down to earth. Saul thought, oh, he is dead. And so does the world today. Do you know this? Even Christian churches, they want to serve a dead Christ. And the latest is they have discovered the tomb of Jesus Christ near Jerusalem. And now they're making a big hoo-ha out of it. Now at last we have discovered Jesus was dead, buried near Jerusalem, and we will serve the dead Savior. How awful, how silly, how stupid, how foolish, my friends. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, alive in heaven, praying for you and for me, that is the crux of Christianity. Without a living Christ, we have no Christianity, no faith, no nothing, no salvation, no hope, no life at all. So here is Jesus Christ. Saul, I have worked for you. First you have seen me, but there are things I will reveal to you. I say, dear friends, if God is calling, pray. You ask me what to pray for. Pray, God, please show me your plan for me in my life. He may not show it all at once together. In fact, He will not show you all at once together, but He wants you to trust Him in faith. For Paul, Jesus says, now you know, stop killing Christians and I will show you more of what you ought to do. And he followed. When I surrendered my life in 1935, I had a reminder in 1938. In the city of Moore, wherever the doctor went, we followed. And there that morning, he preached, young people, God has sent you the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. What will you do now with your life? Those who are willing to say, Lord, take my life and use it. My hand went up. He prayed, put his hands on me. I never forget that moment. And he says, young man, remember the love of God. You have received this salvation. Now go and be a witness. 1938. When did that promise take effect? 1942. Japanese War. The last week was a shelling non-stop from across the Straits of Johor. Every day is waiting for the Japanese shells to fall down. Ever had that experience? Shells, when they fly, they make a whistling noise. And then, bang! On that day, the shell of Japanese troops fell onto the bunker. We all lived in bunkers, you know, as bunkers, underground shelters with sandbags. The one next to us got hit, and one man lost a leg. I said to myself, Lord, if that had been me, oh God, you have saved me, spared my life. I was reminded, 1942, 4 years ago, 1938, I had promised. It was a reminder. God sends us reminders. Thank God. He doesn't let us, because of poor memory, we try to forget. The reminder then I was told. Eventually this took effect. only 30 years after 1938, when I was head of the Kanlan Kerbau Hospital University Unit. Now that is a place where you, once you get there, you don't want to leave it. It is the chair, the professorial chair. You sit there and that's it. That's the best place to be, right? No, wrong. When you have the call of God, that is nothing. So 1968, the Lord says, now is time. You promised the Lord in 1938, now is 30 years. Let that call take effect. I left the university. Until now is almost 40 years. God is good. He reveals His plan for you step by step. Only thing is, you got to be willing. God never uses unwilling people. I say, dear friends, what have you done for the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't think that I must be a Paul, a Saul. I must have a sudden light from heaven, a sign, bang, that I fall down. Why is it God doesn't send it that way? I say, answer is this. It will not. God does not have to repeat anything for anybody. God deals with everyone different. Your experience is not my experience. My experience is not your experience. God knows how to communicate. So, what shall we say then? Dear friends, Paul obeyed the call and God sent him to evangelize the eastern half of the Mediterranean. Do you know where that is? All the countries of Asia Minor, Greece, and all around the Mediterranean up to Rome. Yeah. All those places. God can use you. Don't imagine that you must also evangelize a place that, like that. Then you become a Paul and that's wonderful. No, dear friends. John Sung is called for one ministry. My brother is called for one ministry to found Life Church and the Bible College. And I'm called to another ministry for Calvary. God will call you where He wants you to be. Only thing is, number one, be obedient. Number two, be faithful. Right? God cannot use disobedient servants. Disobedient servant like Jonah ends up in the belly of a whale. Unfruitful servants are no use. I say, pray that God will call you today. Someone here will hear the call. Be patient, be in prayer and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Say that in your prayer. Lord, what is it you want me to do? God saves you for a purpose. God does not save anyone for nothing. All of us can be useful. You can be useful in the home. A witness in the kitchen. You can welcome other servants of God into the house to taste your food and to show your hospitality. Why not? We can be a witness in our office. And we can be a witness in some full-time capacity. God can use all of us in some way or other. We all must be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? For Paul, he had a special calling. Verse 17, in conclusion. Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Paul's special calling was to the Gentiles. He did not neglect his own Jewish people, but his particular area is Gentiles, all those non-Jews. And he witnessed to them, and he opened their eyes, verse 18, and turned them from darkness to light. That's what we all should do. Are you equipped? Pray, read your Bible, pray for love for the lost. Continue to read verse 18, how God calls Saul to deliver them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins in an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus Christ. Verse 19, in conclusion, what does it say here? Paul before the king says, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I am called by God from heaven. Here I am before you, a prisoner, and he was to be consigned to Rome to face execution eventually, but that is beside the point. All that matters is Paul, a servant of God, a prisoner of the law, but he is the chosen servant of God to do his bidding, to open the eyes of men and women in darkness. That is our privilege and our calling, all of us here. God called someone today, God called all of us to be part of the witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. What part are you playing here? What are you doing? Ask yourself, are you in the Sunday school? Are you in some fellowship? Are you in some Bible study group? Are you witnessing personally? Are you witnessing in a group? There is someone, something for someone to do. All of us, be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is calling, looking for workers. Our closing hymn says, make me a channel of blessing. Are you a channel of blessing? You say, how can I be a channel of blessing? You can be a channel of blessing if you will surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. 383. This is a wonderful song. Let's arise to sing. Is your life a channel of blessing? The chorus says, make me a channel of blessing. Make this your prayer. Make this your prayer.